Welcome back to Goal Line Stuff, the show where we talk about anything and everything football related. I'm Alex Kirkchief.
And I'm Michael San Antonio. And boy, do we have a show for you today. So a lot has happened since our last episode, which was actually 13 days ago, but we're back with this one. We're going to catch up with everything that we haven't been talking about. The biggest thing that's happened, which we will get to eventually, is the Tyreek Hill trade. But before that, we're going to talk about Bruce Arians and him stepping down. We're going to talk about the overtime rules. And then a couple other things that we're going to talk about through this episode are the Bobby Wagner deal. And then we're going to go through a little segment that we like called to QB or not to QB, where we're going to go through some teams that need quarterbacks, some teams with some high draft picks. And we're going to talk about if we think they should draft a quarterback or if we think they should wait and do something else with their pick. So we're pretty excited for this one. A lot of good stuff to talk about. Like I said, that Tyreek Hill trade is crazy. But first, let's just talk about this Bruce Arians situation, because, you know, it's pretty big that a Super Bowl winning coach within the last 2 years is stepping down. At least he's not totally retiring from football. You know, he's going to be in operations with the Bucs still. But Todd Bowles is now the head coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I like this, or at least for Todd Bowles, because I think that he still should be a head coach. I mean, in New York, obviously, the Jets are not a competent franchise. You can't really expect a coach to do too well there. But Bowles has always proven that he can run great defenses. He's a great defensive mind. And I think, you know, it's nice that he's getting another shot. My opinion on the matter is that I think the offense won't pass as much. I think Fournette will be involved a little more heavily than he was last year, even. I think Brady's numbers go down a little bit. Fournette and whoever else they involve in that backfield's number is going to go up. And then defense, I don't think really will change much. You and I talked about this, Alex. The scheme will stay the same. You know, he was the defensive coordinator, so nothing's really going to change there.
Yeah, you're not going to really see a lot of change defensively, because obviously he was already their defensive coordinator. Bruce Arians wasn't interfering with that. He was kind of just letting Todd Bowles do his thing. So I think really the main change you're going to see is offensively, which I'm not sure you're going to see a lot of change there either. You're probably going to see a lot less vertical passing. You're going to probably have a lot more of a balanced offense that Tom Brady will probably have more input into than before. Not by much, but maybe a little, because Byron Leftwich is a lot less experienced than Bruce Arians is. But I mean, I'm cool with the move. Todd Bowles should get another opportunity to be a head coach. He seems like an excellent leader, although I wouldn't have been mad with Byron Leftwich there either. And I think it's really cool that Bruce Arians decided to step down a year early just so his guys could get the opportunity instead of going to some bad team.
Yeah, it definitely is cool. And I mean, I don't know. I don't think Bruce Arians is the best coach, but, you know, he did do a lot for the Buccaneers, at least. I mean, Brady, I think even more so than Arians, but, you know, still have to give him some credit. I mean, they really turned things around in Tampa. So I think fans are really grateful for that. And I don't think they're going to make the Super Bowl again, but who knows? They have a team that's very talented. If Bowles can, you know, get the defense looking good again, everyone healthy again, they didn't lose too much. And I think that, you know, they could make another deep playoff run, but I would temper expectations a little bit, at least just for this season. I don't think they're going to be as good as some people think they could be, but that's all I
think. I think they definitely have to invest in defensive back in the draft, because their defense was getting killed. Maybe some offensive line too. Actually, definitely some offensive line, because you lost Alex Kappa, you lost Ali Marpet, and so your interior offensive line is gutted, essentially, because you still have Ryan Jensen, though, but, you know, you're going to have to take at least one guard to replace them. So guard and corner, and then you're probably a really good playoff contender in the weaker NFC.
Yeah.
And your division is probably the worst in football outside of Tampa. So.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you just said. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Bowles can do, but I think we both – think positively on him as a coach. And I mean, I like the move. We'll have to see what happens. Let's move on to this overtime rules proposal that the Eagles actually were one of the teams who proposed this. It got passed for the playoffs, that this was, you know, the huge controversy this year with, you know, you saw Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes, that crazy back and forth scoring game is really what fueled this, because people were like, okay, well, Josh Allen easily could have also won that game if he actually got the coin flip. Games shouldn't be dictated just from a coin flip. And so with such an offensive heavy league now, especially with just the way the rules are, just everything, you know, combined, the league deems it unfair that, you know, a coin flip is dictating a lot of these playoff games. And I am one who, you know, generally I don't like the idea of both teams getting a chance. I'm not too fond of that idea, but in the playoffs, I do think it's a good thing to implement, because, you know, I mean, I think it would make the games a lot more exciting. It would make it more fair in a lot of instances. I think there was a statistic that, like, in the last 12 overtime games in the playoffs, like 11 of them have been won by like the team who won the first toss. So like, that's obviously, you know, it needs to be changed. And so just the playoffs, I think it's fine, but I really don't think they should do it in the regular season. But that's all I really have to say about that.
I mean, yeah, I agree, because there's no reason to overextend regular season games like that. But with the playoffs, that Bills Chiefs game you mentioned, it was one of those games where you knew the team that won the coin toss in overtime was winning that game, because both defenses were so tired at that point that there was just no way anyone was stopping the other team, no matter what team it was, you know? And so the fact that both teams are going to get a chance now before it goes to sudden death, I don't know how much of a change you're going to be noticing, because like in that Chiefs Bills game, I don't think that the Chiefs would have stopped Buffalo either. So then all of a sudden the Chiefs get the ball back and kick a field goal and the game is over and it doesn't matter anyway. But, you know, it should make for some more interesting games.
Definitely. And I mean, what you said is very true about that game in, you know, specifically, but overall, I mean, this could just make it so teams have more of a chance. Like, I mean, that Super Bowl with the Falcons and the Patriots, when you look back on that, you know, the Patriots got the ball first in overtime and then it was game over. Yeah. Falcons may have a shot at winning that game if this rule was implemented. So, I mean, just overall, it's probably better for the sport that they have something like this in the playoffs. And I'm for it. I mean, we have to see how it works, but I think it should run pretty smoothly. So,
yeah, no, I definitely think it's an interesting move that was, I don't know about necessary, but definitely benefits the league a lot more than it harms it.
It definitely does. And a lot of people kind of wanted the league to implement like the college playoff rules, which are pretty exciting. But I don't know. I think that the way that the league did it was good. I like what they implemented. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if college rules would be the best like thing to implement right now, because it's such a different game than college football.
Absolutely.
And like, I don't think the league's ready to make that drastic of a change just yet. So yeah, that's pretty interesting. Now let's just get into the big thing that we're here for, is the Tyreek Hill trade. It's what I've been waiting to talk about. This is one of the biggest moves in free agency. We kind of thought things were dying down a little bit. We keep saying that, and then things just keep happening. And this was kind of unexpected. I know we were both in school when this happened, and like, you know, there was just like a rumor like, oh, Tyreek Hill might get traded or something. Just out of the blue, this wasn't like speculation or talk for like many days beforehand. It was like just out of the blue. And then it was like Jets or Dolphins. And we were like, okay, well, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. Like 30 minutes later.
Yeah, not even an hour after the news came out. You get a tweet from Schefter saying, oh, they've allowed Tyreek Hill to seek a trade. An hour later, oh, Tyreek Hill got traded to Miami. I'm like, geez, they acted fast. Which, I mean, that tells you, to me, that tells you that Tyreek Hill was viewed as long gone by then, and that they had already gone through all the processes of trying to extend him, and they clearly could not make an agreement. So they probably already had some deals in place. And Tyreek clearly does not care about winning as much as he might say he does, judging by this move. To me, it's about a lifestyle thing. They don't have taxes down there in Miami, or rather, I think they have less taxes. I'm not sure, but he's going to be earning a lot more money. He's making Davante Adams money.
More
than Davante Adams money.
It's the highest paid receiver in the league now.
Which, I mean, that's reasonable. He's not the best receiver in the league, but He's top three for sure, and he happened to sign his contract after the best receiver in the league. So obviously he's going to get more money. And honestly, I love the deal for Miami. I think that Miami has done absolutely everything in their power this offseason to try and make Tua's life easier. My opinion on Mike McDaniel is well documented. I think he's going to take that offense to the next level. They're definitely well equipped for it because they have Tyreek Hill now and Jalen Waddle. They signed Raheem Mostert, so their run game is going to be a lot better. If they could get some offensive linemen in the draft, then they're going to be in much better shape, which you have some late draft picks now because you gave up so many to get Tyreek Hill. But if they can find a starter in the draft with the picks they have left, they should be in pretty good shape.
Don't forget about Gesicki, and they also signed Chase Edmonds. So,
yeah, that's right.
You know, the offense is looking pretty good. Like you said, Mike McDaniel, great hiring. I really like him. And I think he's going to try to make that offense a lot like San Francisco's offense.
Mm-hmm.
We already talked about some of the things he wants to do. I don't know if he said this directly in a press conference or if it was speculation, but that, you know, he may want to use Tyreek Hill sort of like Deebo Samuel was used last year, which I could definitely see working, just how athletic and fast Tyreek is. One thing I didn't like last year was Dolphins misused Waddle in a lot of ways. I mean, Waddle, you could use him any way you want, but he's one of the fastest receivers in the league, and they weren't using him to stretch on the field. And that's partly because Tua just can't do that. I mean,
they had no line.
The line stinks. You're right. That is another issue. But even so, like, I still think they could have used him for some more creative play calls. I mean,
they signed Teron Armstead too. Totally set my mind. That offense is going to be very good next year.
Yeah, I really like the move. Like I said, I think they just need to use Waddle creatively, use Hill creatively, which I think Mike McDaniel will do.
I think he's the guy to do that.
And I've talked about Tua in the past. I don't love him. I don't think he's great, but I think he's good enough that with a good offense around him, he could look pretty good. We saw it in Alabama. I mean, he's not the best quarterback, but with the right offense, he could flourish. And I like Miami next year. I think that they're above the Patriots right now in terms of team strength. I think
absolutely
they definitely have a shot at the playoffs. Now the AFC stacked, so you never know. It's most likely right now that like they're going to be one of the teams that's battling to get like that six or seven spot.
But yeah.
Yeah. But definitely a team to look out for. And on the flip, the Chiefs lose Patrick Mahomes' number one weapon. I mean, Kelsey too, but number one weapon. What do you think losing Tyreek Hill means for that offense?
He's obviously a special talent, but the Chiefs definitely had their contingency plan in place years ago when they drafted Mecole Hardman, back when Tyreek Hill was embedded in some controversy. And so they took Mecole Hardman to be their new Tyreek Hill. But clearly he has also not shown the talent and skill for that. He's shown some flashes, but nowhere near the level receiver that Tyreek Hill is. But I think you're going to see a really big philosophy change in Kansas City offense-wise, because with Tyreek Hill, they were going for a lot of deep passes. And I think you're going to see a lot more short and intermediate passing and maybe a little more running now that he's gone, and you don't really have that as a crutch to be slanging the ball down the field. I mean, I've definitely seen more than a few mocks where they trade up for Jameson Williams, who is also a deep threat and maybe could step into that Tyreek Hill role, and you're not going to see a lot of change. But I don't know what right now, as it stands, I think you'll see some change on offense. They signed Juju Smith-Schuster to be in the slot, which you might see some conflict there with Travis Kelce, who's in the slot a lot, but Juju's definitely a talented receiver, and I think they can make it work.
Yeah, and I agree with everything you just said. One thing, you know, I think losing Tyreek Hill is always not going to be beneficial to you.
Right.
Like, just, you know, he's one of the best receivers in the league. He is not replaceable. He's one of the only receivers, I think, that is just not replaceable just due to his explosiveness, his speed. Like, there's things that him and Mahomes did together that you just can't replace. It's outrageous.
Like they were telepathic. They were telepathic. Just like exactly. Rodgers and Adams. I can't believe that both of these two dudes switched teams.
Yeah.
That's going to be upsetting, not seeing those duos not play together, because They like I said, they were telepathic. They would do these crazy things that no other quarterback and receiver duo would do besides each other. And
yep, exactly. That
just sucks to not see anymore.
And it really does stink. I think Mahomes is pretty upset about it. He's definitely trying to pull to get a receiver in the draft, something like that. But he still has Kelce, so even if they don't get a receiver, I think they'll be fine offensively. And one reason I think that they were okay with letting Hill go, I mean, they probably didn't want it to happen, but, you know, if you look at how the team played last year, they kind of got figured out. I mean, after that Bucs Super Bowl game, they've had a lot of struggles, you know, all last year. They had moments where they looked great, but Mahomes wasn't throwing it deep as much just because it wasn't working. Defenses were figuring it out. They were playing deeper. They were playing, you know, two high safeties a lot. They were playing deeper in some games. It wasn't working. And Tyreek Hill had one of his down years statistically. I think that losing Tyreek Hill is going to give Mahomes a better chance to move the ball more methodically. The offense is going to be a little slower paced, but I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily. I think the Chiefs will be just fine. I think they still should win their division. And I think this year will be kind of a work in progress for Mahomes and Reed and the whole offense to kind of reinvent itself and figure itself out without, you know, their best player arguably on offense. So, but yeah, I mean, that's how I feel about it. I think that they will eventually, the offense will get back to the heights that it was at in like 2018, 2019. But I don't think that's going to happen this year or maybe even next year. I think it might be a couple of years down the road. I think they're going to try to run the ball more too with this change. They signed Ronald Jones. So,
yeah.
You know, he's not great, but I think he may be better than Clyde, and he's
maybe
probably better than Darrell Williams too. So
the thing about Ronald Jones is that he's a good runner, but is awful at every other job a running back has. He can't pass block to save his life. He can't catch to save his life. Even he's also questionable with his ball security. And, you know, if he can figure that out, then maybe you can play him. But the blocking is really huge and a really underrated part of a running back's game. That's why you saw so much more Leonard Fournette than Rojo this past year, because Rojo doesn't know how to block, even if he is a really talented ball carrier, which I don't know about really talented, but, you know, he's a good ball carrier.
He's talented.
And, yeah, you just don't see him on the field because he has so many other deficiencies.
Well, I mean, Darrell Williams, that's why I liked him, because he could kind of, you know, he's not a guy you thought could catch out of the backfield, but when they needed him to, he had one game where he caught like 10 balls.
Yeah.
He was making really hard catches. He could run block pretty well. I think most likely it's going to be like a three-way committee between those guys, and they're just going to try to run the ball a lot more, get all three of them more opportunities. And yeah, like you said, like just short intermediate passes, get Juju in the slot. Travis Kelce's going to eat wherever they put him. And, you know, they got MVS. They still have Pringle, still have Hardman. So
Pringle signed with Chicago.
Oh, Pringle signed with Chicago. Missed that, I guess. So, I mean, they lost Pringle, although I still don't think that's that huge. MVS is better than Pringle. So, I mean, I think they'll be fine is basically what I'm trying to say.
They'll
be fine. But ultimately, this was a win for Miami. And for the Chiefs, this was kind of a loss, but we'll see how they could react to it this year and next year and the following years.
Yeah.
Miami's going to be pretty crazy. I'm excited to see that team play.
I think they'll be fun. I don't know how great they'll be, but they're going to be fun for sure.
Yeah. I mean, they could be great though.
That's why I said, I don't know. I can't definitively say that they won't be, because I am still a believer in Tua.
Same, as crazy as it is, I am. And I think that making these moves is showing that they're trying to see if they could get that potential out of Tua right now, like see what this offense could look like, because, you know, with the team they have, I mean, nothing's holding Tua back now, except maybe an offensive line, which they're going to work on trying to get. And if they do get that, I mean, he has no excuses now. He has to go out and play like, you know, the fifth overall pick that he was. So huge trade.
You got your first next year.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't think they'll be hesitant to use it. I mean, teams are very quick on, you know, going back and trying to get another quarterback when, you know, their guy doesn't work out. So huge trade. Let's transition into the Bobby Wagner news. This isn't as big, but, you know, still is big. I mean, the Super Bowl champs, reigning Super Bowl champs, get another defensive weapon. And we've been talking about Bobby Wagner. You know, he's a great player. You personally talked about how you didn't love the deal, at least with me. You said that, you know, it wasn't the bestest of deals. And I agree with you there, but still, just any player that you could get, I don't think he's washed. I don't think the deal's that bad, and I don't think he'll be there for 5 years. So
I agree.
I kind of like this move
on all three of those statements.
What?
I agree with you on all three of those statements. I mean, he definitely is on the downswing as a player, but he's most certainly not washed. He's still a very good linebacker, not top of the league like he was before, but still very capable. Nobody would, not nobody, but like you wouldn't really hesitate to have him starting for you. The deal isn't crazy money. I mean, $10 million a year, 5 years, I think is a little long, but you know, if that's what he wanted and that's what it took to sign him, then that's what you do, because likely he's not going to be there for all those 5 years. So I think that it's a pretty good signing for the Rams, even if it is a little bit of an overpay and a little bit of a long contract. I think you make that move 10 times out of 10, unless you have psychic powers that you can see he falls off a cliff in the next year or two.
Yeah, I don't think he will fall off a cliff. And more importantly, I think the signing just brings another guy with a lot of leadership. I mean, they just lost Von Miller, but Bobby Wagner can command a defense. They already have Aaron Donald, who's coming back next year, it was reported. So this is just a big move. I mean, NFC, like you said earlier, is weak this year. And the Rams are just keep showing that they're trying to win it again. Robinson and Wagner and Stafford getting that extension. I mean, yeah, they did lose Darius Williams. They lost Von Miller. But, you know, I don't think either of them are big enough losses to say that the Rams are going to fall off by any means or be significantly worse. Not. In those areas on defense, I mean, I think they'll be just as fine. And I think they probably will win their division again. Although I can't say.
Depends on Trey Lance. That whole division to me depends on Trey Lance.
Even if Trey Lance is great next year, I don't think the Niners are going to quite be.
I see your argument there. Yeah. But they'll definitely give them a fight if Trey Lance is all he's hyped up to be.
Oh, for sure. Although, right now, it's looking like Jimmy may still be the starter week one.
No, he's not going to be the starter. I can't definitively say he'll be on the team, but even if he is on the team, he's not starting. Let's be real here.
I mean, I don't think he should start, but like,
he's not. There have been multiple reports that came out that said Trey Lance has been assured he's the starter next year.
That's good then, because he better do that. Shanahan.
The Niners are just waiting for some quarterback to go down in training camp so they can offload Jimmy G on them.
It's probably true.
That's the way I see it. They haven't been offered anything of note for Jimmy G, so they're just going to keep him because they can.
That's fair. And I mean, it is a good insurance policy to have two capable starters, but there's also been reports that have been debunked, but also been like, you know, you just don't know the validity of a lot of this stuff. But there's been reports that Lance may not be fully ready yet. He's a little erratic in camp and in practice. So just like, I mean, having both guys never hurts. And as crazy as it is, like, I wouldn't think it would be crazy if they still wanted to play Jimmy G sometimes, if they still have him. I mean,
I disagree.
I don't think they should, but I don't think it's crazy to play Jimmy G still.
You're Shanahan, you mortgage your future to get this one guy that is the supposed savior of your franchise because you've been held back by Jimmy G. Because while he is a decent floor-raising quarterback, he's definitely a ceiling-lowering quarterback. You're not going to win a Super Bowl with Jimmy G. Even though they got close, he's not going to be that guy to carry you to the Super Bowl, whereas Lance definitely has the potential to do that.
I mean, I agree with that, but I think they need to put Lance in when he's ready, because I don't think, like, putting in an NFL quarterback who's not quite ready yet is not a good thing to do. I mean, we've just seen year in and year out, it's not a good thing to do. And we've seen multiple times when it's worked, when quarterbacks have had to wait for a little while to start. So I think Shanahan knows best.
I don't think you've seen a quarterback wait for 2 years since Aaron Rodgers behind Favre.
Like Rodgers.
And Jordan Love now, but you know, Jordan Love does not look good in the limited action he's had, and they just extended Rodgers. So you definitely want to avoid that if you're San Francisco, especially with how much you gave up.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks in history who've had to wait and who have been good or didn't quite get a shot at first and then have been good. I don't know. I think Shanahan knows better than us.
Oh, absolutely.
And I agree with you that I think that Lance will be the starter week one, but I'm just saying, I mean, if Jimmy's on that team and Lance isn't ready or doesn't look perfect, I you know, you can't guarantee that Jimmy isn't going to get some playing time.
Yeah.
At least that's just all I'm saying. Yeah. B-Wag's deal is great.
No, I don't know about all that, but
good, not the deal. The B-Wag's getting him on the team is a very good move for the Rams. More so what I'm trying to say. And that division is going to be a lot of fun again. Kyler Murray, just everything. I'm excited for football next year. But I think the most important thing that we're going to talk about today, besides that Tyreek Hill trade, is the two QB or not to QB. And with the draft coming up in like 4 weeks, this is pretty big. So I say we just get going on this. In this, like I explained earlier, we're going to go through how many teams is it? Let's see. We have around eight teams that we're going to talk about. And all of these teams need a quarterback or at least aren't perfect at the quarterback position right now. And we're going to go through the picks that they have. We're going to go through what we think they should do with that pick. And if they should take a quarterback, what quarterback they should take in the draft. So the first team that we have on the list, we're going to go by draft order, is Detroit. And I think you should start off, Alex, because you're the one who came up with this awesome segment.
All right. So Detroit has the second overall pick. We skipped Jacksonville because obviously they already had Trevor Lawrence, who they drafted first overall last year. And Detroit also has the 32nd overall pick. Now, this 2022 draft class is very weak for quarterbacks relative to some of the last ones that we've seen, with last year having five guys go in the first round. The year before had Justin Herbert, Tua, and Joe Burrow, who two of those three are stars already. And Tua, you know, jury's still out, but we see. Oh, and it had Jordan Love first, who we just talked about, and somehow I forgot. And then 2019 was also kind of weak with Kyler, Daniel Jones, and Dwayne Haskins. But this class is especially weak with they only have three first-round guys tops to me. You have Malik Willis out of Liberty, Kenny Pickett out of Pitt, and then Matt Corral out of Ole Miss, who is extremely borderline first round to me. And I don't know that I would take him if I'm Detroit at 32 either. But so to me, taking a quarterback number two overall is out of the question for Detroit. I think you're going to look to get an edge rusher there. And, you know, you're probably not going to be very good next year either. So you're in prime position to get one of the quarterbacks from next year, which is also going to be a very strong class with CJ Stroud out of Ohio State and Bryce Young out of Alabama. So you're probably going to be able to get one of those guys next year if you don't draft a quarterback this year. So you're going to get an edge rusher or offensive lineman at two. And then the only way I'm taking a quarterback if I'm Detroit is if one of those two dudes, Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett, fall to 32, which I'm not sure they do. And even if they do, I'm on that. So that's my verdict on that. But Michael, to QB or not to QB for Detroit?
I agree with you with everything you said. To not QB for Detroit. Jared Goff isn't great, but it's not time to draft a quarterback just yet for them. They have so many other pressing needs. And I actually don't mind them taking like a really late quarterback, like Bailey Zappe. Have you heard of him?
Western Kentucky.
Took college football by storm with the way he played. I mean, taking a guy like that with a later draft pick, I wouldn't mind them doing something like that, but I'd rather they just wait till next year, like you alluded to. There's a lot of really talented guys, and I think that they have a lot more pressing needs. You know, as you said, they can make a lot of good picks there at two or even with some of their later picks. I don't think a first or second round quarterback is a good move for Detroit, especially this year. Goff could still be a starter for another year or two. I mean, he's not good, but he's not going to hurt the team with the state it's in right now. So not to QB for Detroit.
I agree.
Okay, I'll introduce this next one. We'll both get to talk about it. I think it'll be pretty brief because I already know our opinion on this one. But Houston. Houston is a team that also has a lot of big needs. They have the third overall pick, one after Detroit. And, you know, Houston has so many things that they need on their team that I'm just going to flat out say QB not to be for Houston. They're just not in a position to draft a quarterback. And they have Davis Mills, who had, you know, a pretty impressive season considering everything. Not a lot of good weapons. Offensive line wasn't that great. No real run game. Defense is atrocious. Coaching is, I mean, coaching's not great. I mean, you have David Coley last year, who, I mean, he's okay, but
now Lovie Smith, who was not an offensive coach.
Yeah. And I mean, Davis Mills looked pretty good last year. He wasn't anything crazy. He started off kind of rough, but he picked up. He won a couple games he shouldn't have won. He had a very good touchdown scoring to turnover ratio. He was pretty efficient, and his arm looked pretty good in the games that I watched from him. So I think Davis Mills, you have to give him at least one more year. And I don't think the Texans are ready to draft a quarterback even next year, probably. I think they have a lot that they need to address as a team as a whole. I think they're in a worse spot than the Lions are overall. And yeah, no quarterback for me, just a no.
I'm with you on that one. Davis Mills to me was one of the bigger surprises of the year because I was really low on Davis Mills coming out of college, and his first half of the season definitely confirmed that opinion on him. But then out of nowhere, the second half of the year, he had a really, really good second half and finished the season strong, which I was not expecting. And I definitely think he earned himself another year as the starter. Like you were talking about, Houston has a ton of needs all around their roster. And I think both first-round picks are best used on getting some players around Davis Mills. An edge rusher at 3, because this class is really strong in edge. And then maybe a corner at 13, maybe another defensive lineman. You're getting some actual players instead of just replacing Davis Mills that early, because I think that's the wrong call. So not to QB.
I agree. Would you like to go for the Giants first? We'll do like a little snake order here.
Yeah, I like that call. So next we have the New York Giants at 5th overall. The Jets are at 4th, and they just took Zach Wilson last year, so they're not, you know, included in this. And they, once again, I'm going not to QB for the Giants because they have some pretty pressing needs on their roster, especially in the offensive line. They could also use an edge rusher or maybe even Kyle Hamilton on that back end of the defense to play alongside Xavier McKinney. And once again, I just don't know that any of these dudes in the first round quarterback-wise are a lot better than Daniel Jones, and you can definitively say are a big upgrade over Daniel Jones to where they're worth spending a top 8 pick on, because the Giants have picks 5 and 7. I should have mentioned earlier, and I'm just not doing that. If I'm New York, I think you're giving Daniel Jones one last shot this year with Brian Daboll as his coach. You see his development with Josh Allen. He did wonders for Josh Allen, him and Ken Dorsey, who's the offensive coordinator for New York now. And to me, you're just giving Daniel Jones more of a supporting cast with these two picks, and it's not worth using one of them on a quarterback when if Daniel Jones flames out this year, then you're in position to get another guy next year. So I'm saying no.
Yeah, not to QB. So a lot of what you said, I agree with. I think that they're giving Daniel Jones another year. I think they will. And I think they probably should, because I mean, they have a lot to address. Like you said, it's a great edge class. There should be a lot of talent at 5 and 7 for the Giants to get. And so I say in the first round, not to QB, but I really like the Giants getting one of these intermediate quarterbacks. You know, we saw last year with Davis Mills, with Kellen Mond, we saw the Eagles take Jalen Hurts in the second. I think Daniel Jones is not the option for the Giants, and next year will most likely prove that. I mean, they have Daboll now. They have some good offensive weapons. The team's not where it should be, but there's really nothing holding him back if he's a great quarterback or a good quarterback for him to prove that he could at least ball out a little bit. And he just hasn't been able to do that so far. And I think they know that. They just aren't ready as a team to, and they don't have the correct draft class to really pick the guy that they want yet. So I wouldn't mind if they took, you know, if Matt Corral falls out of the first round, if Sam Howell doesn't get picked in the first round, which he probably won't, even a guy like Desmond Ridder. You know, I don't love any of these guys, but I think taking one of these guys with like a second or third round pick could be super beneficial to a team that the offense looks at least decent. So I honestly like a move for like one of these intermediate guys. I say two QB for the Giants for a second or third round quarterback who has a little bit of potential, but not to QB for a first round quarterback.
I definitely see where you're coming from. And I think that it could be beneficial, maybe not in the second, but if one of those dudes that you mentioned falls all the way to the third, which I'm not sure that happens, but if that does end up happening, then I think there definitely is big upside for the Giants. If, you know, Sam Howard, Desmond Ridder turn out to be good, which I'm not high on Desmond Ridder at all, but Sam Howell definitely could have a decently successful career. And I think it would light a fire under Daniel Jones to where maybe you indirectly turn him into a franchise quarterback and, you know, problem solved without giving up a huge pick for your franchise quarterback again. Mm-hmm. So I'll say two QB with you. You convinced me.
But only for a second or later.
Only an intermediate guy.
Yes, exactly.
None of the top guys.
Good. Exactly. Awesome. Okay. I'll do the next one. I don't want the Giants to get a quarterback, by the way. I really hope it doesn't happen. Keep Daniel Jones for as long as possible, please.
Well, he's all right. He's all right. I'm okay with him being their quarterback, let's just say.
Maybe his first season he was all right, but since then it's been pretty rocky. So
I'm okay with him being their quarterback.
Yeah, same. I'm very okay with it. Next we have the Panthers, who have some promise on their team, but you know, I mean, last year you saw with Sam Darnold, there was just a lot that people thought was going to happen. People thought maybe they could turn things around, become a great team. First 4 weeks it looked like they were that team, and then things dropped off and the team isn't where it should be, but I think the offense is. I think the offense is good enough for a quarterback. I think that, you know, there are a lot of good options in the first round for the Panthers to get. But that being said, I am 2 QB for the Panthers. I think they should draft a quarterback, and I think they're the first team that will. The Giants could, but it would be really stupid of them to draft one with the state of their team is in. I think the Panthers, if Willis is there, which he most likely will be, I think they should take Willis. Reports are, and people have said that they're high on Pickett, which, I mean, makes sense. Pickett's a decent quarterback. I wouldn't mind either of them with the Panthers. I don't think either of them necessarily will flourish in that situation, but it's much better than Darnold. And I think that, you know, either you have to draft one now or you have to get like Stroud next year. And I don't know if they're in a position to get Stroud next year or a guy like that. So I think, you know, right now is your best shot at getting, you know, maybe an elite quarterback for the future. And Willis is the closest thing to that, at least I think that they have the opportunity to get. So I think they should take Malik Willis here at number six.
See, that's the thing that that I'm talking about with Carolina. You said that that they're probably going to be in a position to draft a quarterback next year if they don't get one this year. The thing about that is, if they're in a position to get a quarterback next year, Matt Rhule and Scott Fitterer are no longer employed by the Carolina Panthers. Yeah. I think this is their absolute last chance to save their jobs. And by that logic, I think they will draft a quarterback. I don't know that they're going to have their pick of the litter, because I definitely could see Detroit talking themselves into Malik Willis. I keep doing that. It's because Willis, I try to say Williams, but anyway, I definitely could see Detroit talking themselves into Malik Willis being their franchise quarterback and just, you know, loving him so much that they draft him at two before anyone else can get him. So I think Pickett is probably more likely for Carolina. Even if Willis is still there, I think Pickett is probably more likely. It just seems more of a better fit. And so I'm 100% on the two QB train here. because they're you know, drafting for their jobs at this point, and you also cannot continue a season with Sam Darnold and Cam Newton at quarterback. Like, you have to get a quarterback here.
You have to. There's no way around it. And I do get what you're saying about Willis. I don't think Detroit's going to do it. They could, but I don't think they're going
to do it. I don't think they will either, but I definitely see a world where they do.
And I don't – I mean, I know, like, some people may disagree. I just don't see any teams really right now wanting to trade up. I can think of one other team that we're going to talk about a little bit later who could, like, trade up. But, like, I think that round six, like, five is the first time you're going to hear of any quarterback going. And it should be Willis. And if Willis and Pickett are there, I think they should take Willis. I think Willis is QB1. But, like I said, they like Pickett. So I think it could easily be Kenny Pickett. I think it could be Malik Willis. I doubt they take any of the other guys, but who knows. But, yeah, verdict is 2QB for the Carolina Panthers.
This is the first pick in the draft where I would take a quarterback.
Yes, I agree. And I really think it's the first one that it should happen. Like, GMs really should not reach for any of these guys.
But I would not be 100% surprised if Detroit did either.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but it wouldn't be the best pick in my opinion. Just how I feel about it.
So, moving on, we have Atlanta at number 8. We already talked about number 7 with New York. And so next we have the Atlanta Falcons. Now, the Atlanta Falcons are probably in the worst position of any NFL team this upcoming season. And just because of that, I cannot imagine any scenario where they take the quarterback. You would be 100% handicapping your quarterback if you take one this high with that abysmal of a roster. You lost all your weapons on offense, where Calvin Ridley's out for the season with a suspension. Russell Gage signed with Tampa. So those are your top two weapons besides Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is going to get doubled every game and not neutralized, but, you know, he's not going to be able to dominate the way he should be. And just because of that, I don't think you can afford to take a quarterback this high without filling out the rest of your roster. You don't have a ton of draft picks either. You only got a third for Matt Ryan. And even though your quarterbacks are awful on your roster, you can't take one high. I could see them taking one in the third or fourth just to have another dude that, you know, a dart throw to see if he becomes good. And then, you know, maybe target someone in the draft next year or the year after. But I think Atlanta is in a really bad spot.
Yeah. Amen, man. To not be. I mean, you couldn't have said it any better. I was worried you were going to go a different direction. I mean, I know you pretty well, but still. Atlanta cannot go after a quarterback. I mean, there's just too much that they need to do. And like you said, they have literally no weapons. I mean, you did forget about Cordarrelle Patterson. They still have him.
I'm not all that high on him. I need to see it before I'm sold.
The way they used him, though, I mean, he's probably their best weapon.
He fell off a cliff in the second half of the season.
That's true. But that's because they're using him as a running back, and he's not a running back. But
I need to see it for another year before I'm sold.
Very, very true. I mean, I get what you're saying with that.
I did forget him, though. I will give you that. I did forget about him.
But anyway, I digress. For me, the main reason why Atlanta can't do this is because, for one, like I said, their team is not where it should be. There's a lot of guys they could potentially get with this pick. I mean, they will have pretty much their pick of the litter at corner. I don't know if Sauce Gardner will be gone yet. He might be. He might not be. I mean, the corner's not their biggest need, but, like, getting another corner on top of, you know, already having one of the best young corners in the league in A.J. Terrell would be huge. There's pick of the litter pretty much on defense. If you want to make your offensive line a lot better, you know, there's a lot of great tackles and guards in this draft. There's a lot of great edge rushers, which they definitely need. So, I mean, they definitely, one of these good defensive players is going to fall. I mean, like, who knows where Trayvon Walker goes, but, like, if they have any shot at him, like,
I would take him if I'm them, but I don't think he's there.
I think there's a shot.
Like, I think you see four edges go in the top 8.
That's fair.
And then two more tackles.
Then even then, you have guys like, you know, Jermaine Johnson, who, like, will definitely be available.
I like him.
That may be a little high, but it's a better pick than a quarterback, in my opinion. And then the second reason, Marcus Mariota. I mean, I don't love Mariota.
I totally forgot.
Yeah, I mean, they got him for 2 years on a pretty small contract. And, you know, in that one game that we saw with the Raiders, he looked really good. I mean,
yeah, he was solid.
He's nothing special. We know that he's never going to be an elite guy. But for 2 years, he's a good enough bridge quarterback. And there's just no reason to invest in a really risky, all right quarterback prospect when, like, you have a guy who should be starting still in the league, at least right now. I think Mariota is good enough for 2 years, and Falcons should not draft a quarterback. It is to not be. And they have Felipe Franks. I love Felipe Franks.
I don't count him.
I know, but he's their backup. I love Felipe Franks. So, yeah, I don't even know about all that. You know, take one later. Felipe Franks is a god. And, yeah, no, QB to not be for not Atlanta. Anyway, let's segue into the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks, obviously, they traded Russell Wilson. They, you know, Bobby Wagner's off the team, got rid of him. And they're in not really kind of full rebuild mode, but not really too, because I don't think they're going to do a full rebuild necessarily. They're still going to keep DK. I think Lockett's probably still going to stay. They're still going to keep some of the core members of their team. And their team isn't great. They're probably the worst in the division. I think that's unquestionable at this moment. But if they could get a decent quarterback, I think that they could still be a decent team in this league. And I think that's what they're going to do here at pick number 9. I don't know how much I love it, because I could see them stick with Drew Lock. But I think that, you know, getting that 9th overall pick and just having Drew Lock, I don't think they trust Drew Lock just yet. They may start him from the get-go in the season if they get a young quarterback like I think they're going to do. But I think they're going to take either Pickett or they're going to take Willis, whoever is not drafted by either the Lions or the Panthers. I think they're going to get at 9th overall. And I don't love it. I love it if they get Willis, but I don't think it's going to propel their team to a level that they hope it would. But I just think it, you know, with DK, with, you know, the core that you still have, at least a little bit that you still have, I think they're going to go for quarterback. And I think that that's their plan as of right now with what I saw them do this offseason. So that's what I have them doing right now. But if I was the GM, I probably would not take quarterback here. I just want to make that very clear. I don't love the pick, but I think in, like, as a GM, like, what they're going to do, I think it's QB2B. And so I'm just going to roll with that for right now.
See, I think we're in disagreement on this one, because if I'm Seattle, I am 100% taking Willis. You have a pretty mediocre at best offensive line, which is not ideal, but Willis can make up for that in his ability as a runner. He's a fantastic runner. And you have an excellent skill position core with DK and Lockett, and you just re-signed Rashad Penny, who had a really good end to his year. And so just because of that, I think that Willis would be in a really good position to, you know, make life a little easier on him, even with the line. And then also you can have him and Locke compete. If Willis isn't ready yet, you're fine, because you still have Drew Locke, who, you know, it's Drew Locke, but he can start a few games, you know. And where I think the alternative to this is offensive line, someone like a Charles Cross. And your defense is pretty bad, I must say, but I think that you're not going to be good enough next year. You're not going to be bad enough next year, I should say, to get one of those franchise guys that we mentioned earlier. So I think this is your chance, and you should be taking Willis if you're Seattle, if he's there.
So, I mean, I agree with what you said, and that's kind of why I went that approach, like, as a GM, but I don't think they're going to be good enough ever taking any of these quarterbacks with this pick. And I personally, if I was GM, would rather just try to build up this team for as long as possible, because even if they do find, like, even if Willis turns out to be like an elite quarterback, or if Pickett turns out to be an elite quarterback, I think the defense and the offense isn't developed enough and won't be in the next couple of years for you to make the playoffs in that crazy division. I mean, that's just my opinion, but you know, I could see them, if Willis is there at 9, or if they could trade up for him, they were the team I was talking about trading up, then I think they should do it.
They got no ammo. I don't think they have ammo for a trade up.
I mean, you might be right. I mean, they may have to trade someone.
The next two teams that we're about to talk about are the two most likely trade up candidates.
I think Seattle makes the most sense to trade up, but what you're saying is true. They probably don't have the ammo because that, yeah.
Is that Jamal?
They've messed up a lot with a lot of their moves that they've done. But if they could get Willis, I would love it. If they could get Pickett, I would be eh. But I agree with you in the sense that I think they will go quarterback. So, like I said, 2QB for Seattle.
All right. So, next, we have two more teams. I don't think we're going to be talking a lot about these teams because, to me, at least the first team being our Philadelphia Eagles, I think they're also a definite not to QB because I don't know that any of these dudes are a huge upgrade over Jalen Hurts, and I'm not high on Jalen Hurts either. But you also don't have a high enough pick as Philadelphia to probably get any of these dudes. Because the way we just set this up, both of the only two guys worth drafting in the first round are gone by pick 9 by Seattle. And so your best option left in this hypothetical is Matt Corral, who was absolutely not worth a first round pick to me. And you also need to even out that roster with those three firsts. Now, I don't think Philadelphia is going to choose three players with those three firsts. I think they're going to try and trade out of one to get a 2023 first to try and move up for one of those franchise guys next year. And so to me, it's a definite no.
Yeah, I am also in agreement with you. It is a definite no for me to not be. I know that sounds weird. I just like saying to not be because, you know, there's a lot of great edge players. We've been talking about this. Even outside of the top 10, there are good edge options. There are receivers. We still need a receiver, you know, as good as much as I like Smitty. I kind of like Quez Watkins, but still, you know, we need another receiver on this team. And our offense just needs a lot of help in general. So does our defense in some places. We need to fill some holes. And I would honestly rather take a linebacker in the first round, as crazy as that is, over a quarterback at this point. I don't love Hurts, but he played well enough that, and the quarterback class right now isn't bad enough for us to replace him immediately. I think we should replace him after this season, especially if he is what I think he will be, which is mediocre at best or decent at best. And, you know, that's a different story. We talk about that next year, but for now we just need to focus on, you know, the players that we actually need. And as much, you know, I think Kenny Pickett could be decent with the Eagles, but it's just not what we need right now. And, you know, if anything, what we have been linked to is like a guy like Carson Strong, which we could get in like the third or fourth round, maybe.
I don't love
that. I don't even like that much because, you know, we already have QB depth.
I think that's a wasted pick.
Exactly. So, like, I mean, if anything, if we do take a quarterback, I think it'll be something like that because we've been linked with in talks with him. But just generally, it is a no from me. And I really hope that Howie and the organization does not go that route because I'm not ready for another QB controversy between Gardner, Jalen Hurts, and Pickett or Corral or, oh God, Sam Howell or any of them. So,
yeah. All right, take us home.
Okay. And last but not least, New Orleans, New Orleans, I'm not going to say they completely figured things out at quarterback because maybe they didn't, but they kind of did in this last week. They got Jameis Winston, got him back for 2 years. And they also signed Andy Dalton for 1 year. They have the 18th overall pick. And like you said, you know, the Eagles or the Saints are probably the most likely team to trade up. If I'm the Saints, though, I don't think I would trade up for a quarterback. And I don't think that's something that they're going to do. I mean, 18 is a decent spot to still get a good player on defense or even in other areas. You know, their offense is depleted of weapons. I mean, they have Michael Thomas and Kamara, but, you know, Kamara, I mean, with the arrest and just everything going on, I mean, he will play. Obviously, he probably will play, but still, there's just – we don't know what's going on with that. And Michael Thomas may not be the receiver we thought he was. And the rest of the offense just is kind of depleted. They don't have that much going on for them. So Taysom Hill at tight end. But other than that, they just have a lot that they need to target. I would rather they look at – making their defense a little bit stronger overall because, you know, it's good. But, you know, with their new head coach, I think they can make it even better. And that could be the strong point of their team. And, you know, I think Jameis is good enough if he could stay healthy to be their QB1 for 2 or 3 years, possibly even more if he can, you know, continue to not play turnover heavy football. So it's not QB for me for the Saints. And that's in general for the entire draft. I think Andy Dalton's a capable enough backup, as much as, you know, he may not be great, but he's good enough backup that they really should not waste any pick on a quarterback unless it's like a sixth or seventh round flyer late in the draft. So no QB for me.
I'm going to disagree with you on this one. Now, we mentioned how they're a prime trade-up candidate. Not prime, but like they're definitely a trade-up candidate, but I don't think they should trade up. I think that the only way I'm taking a quarterback for the Saints is if Willis or Pickett falls to me at 18, because that's pretty good value for what could potentially be a franchise guy. And I don't think you've seen enough out of Jameis on your team to go ahead and say we can't draft a quarterback because of Jameis Winston. He played, what, like 4 or 5 games this year? And, you know, he was cool, but he wasn't anything
he was good.
To write home about. Yeah, no, not good. He was good. He was solid. I'll say solid.
He was like the Saints noticeably had a big drop off once Jameis Winston left.
The other two guys were Taysom Hill and Trevor Siemian.
I mean, that's fair. But at the same time, like his numbers were good. He looked pretty good. The offense ran well with him. And we know he has talent. I mean, he has a lot of issues, but he has some talent. So, can I interject real quick? I like what you're saying about if one of them falls, but I just doubt it's going to happen. Both of us don't think it's going to happen.
So. That's what I'm saying. But in the event that it does happen, I'll jump on one of those quarterbacks from the Saints.
I agree with you there.
And if it
does happen,
give Winston another weapon. Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jameson Williams, Treylon Burks, you know, pick whichever one is there.
Yeah.
So I'm potentially to QB on this one.
I don't think it's going to happen. Like if one of them does fall to them at 18, which would be crazy to me, then maybe, but like at the same time, like, I don't know. I don't think it's the best move for them to make. So yeah, I don't know. I'm not too high on it. Like you could obviously tell, I think they should go a different route with it, but like Willis might be over Jameis like in a year or two. I think he may be over Jameis.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I mean, I wouldn't be mad if they got Willis. I think Pickett is a different story because I'm not as high on Pickett. And if they're going to draft Corral or any of these other guys, I think they make a huge mistake.
Yeah, I think
they should not waste an intermediate pick on any of them. So
I think Corral should be going to a contender.
Yeah, and Corral will most likely be a backup. Maybe.
For the first year or two.
Yeah, for the first year or two, he'll be a backup to a guy who's a little bit better than him. So.
I think Corral, to me, it's one of those dudes that you draft him if you have someone that's aging, you know, someone that like a Drew Brees or Philip Rivers in past years, that's who you would want, like that type of team with that type of quarterback, you would want to get him. If he falls to the Colts in the second, I like that.
I like that a lot.
I like Matt Corral to the Colts in the second a lot.
I could see like Sam Howell, some of these like Ridder.
Yeah.
Going to, like, you know, you saw last year the Vikings, you saw Kyle Trask go, you saw Davis Mills go in like that intermediate range. I think a lot of similar teams may look to get, you know, I'm not big on Kyle Trask. I think the Bucs could take another intermediate quarterback with Brady just being as old as he is.
I think they have too many holes right now and they want to contend. So I don't think
in the third or fourth round, I think that if any of these guys fall, that I don't think they would mind taking another guy.
Maybe.
You know, I was going to say Dolphins, but I forgot they had Teddy for a second. You know, the Bills lost their backup quarterback. I'm not saying
they traded for Keenum.
Oh, they did trade for Keenum. You're right. Although Keenum, I don't know.
I mean, he's a backup.
I don't think Keenum's great.
Your season is lost if Josh Allen goes down, no matter who your backup is.
That's true. So, I mean, yeah, fair enough. I mean, there's a lot of teams that could potentially draft any of these intermediate guys.
Hold on. Pittsburgh, if same thing as New Orleans. If one of those two dudes are there, then Pittsburgh is jumping on him.
That's fair, because as much as I think Money Mitch should get one more chance, even if he's not good, if you could get Willis or Pickett, I mean, you have to do it because they're just better.
Love Willis, too, reportedly.
Yeah. I mean, I get why. Willis is the best quarterback in the draft. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah.
I mean, and like I said, New York, I think if they could get like an intermediate quarterback, that might be good for them. I mean, there's just a lot of places for a lot of these guys. And I think that this is one of the drafts where we really don't know what's going to happen because the draft class isn't great. for quarterbacks, but there's a lot of teams that could potentially need a quarterback or want a quarterback. And I mean, with how high demand they have in the league at this very moment, like, teams may just be taking chances on them that we don't expect. You just don't know. So I think this segment's really cool because, like, we're opening up different opportunities for all these different players come draft time. And I think there's a couple that we didn't even think of that may come to fruition on draft day. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be pretty cool to see happen. Willis is better go first overall. That's just all I'm saying. Not first overall, first quarterback taken. Sorry, I want to make that very clear.
Joke.
No.
I was about to play along.
I think that Sam Howell should go first overall. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think Trevor Lawrence needs some competition.
Exactly.
What better use of getting some QB competition of your last first overall pick than using another first overall pick? What could go wrong?
I mean, yeah, what could go wrong, honestly? Draft Sam Howell first overall, put him at tight end for a year.
You're good to go. No, they don't have Urban Meyer anymore.
Next, Tim Tebow. Urban Meyer. Jesus. Urban Meyer. We didn't talk about it, but the report that he doesn't know about star players on the other team.
That was funny, but I feel like that had to have been a joke.
It has to be a joke, but I really hope it isn't or wish it isn't because, like...
I mean, come on, man. Aaron Donald.
I think that one may have been a joke, but, like...
Had to be.
That one had to be a joke, but, like... It's just so funny that, like, these things are coming out. Like, even if they are jokes, just, like, that was such an awful situation. I really can't believe it happened. Jacksonville Jaguars fans are really hoping that Doug Peterson works out. And I thought it was going to work out as an Eagles fan. So,
you know. I wish Jacksonville was on Hard Knocks last year. Maybe I would have watched it for once.
Same. This year is going to be fun, though, with Dan Campbell.
Yeah, he's entertaining.
Yeah, and the Lions, I mean – the team isn't good, but they have some young players.
They have some.
Amani Oruwariye is a beast. Doesn't get talked about enough.
He's a good player.
Yeah. So excited to watch that. Excited for the draft. This was a fun podcast to make. That Tyreek Hill trade still, I just still can't believe it happened. I mean, that's a Madden.
It still hasn't processed to me.
Same. And
same with that.
Same with that. I see it play. Yeah. Exactly. It's crazy. But, you know, early prediction, Dolphins, I'm just going to say this right now, may make the playoffs next year. And it's not crazy to say at all.
It's not a prediction.
Tua may have a career year next year.
It's not a prediction. You didn't say anything definitive.
Okay. Well, no. Dolphins may – I'm not going to say anything definitive. I can't.
This is a binary outcome. Either they make the playoffs or don't make the playoffs. You didn't make any prediction by saying they may or may not make the playoffs.
Okay. Dolphins could win 11 games next year.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll let that one slide.
Yeah. Which would be second place in the division probably to the Bills, but yeah. We'll see. Pretty crazy. Excited for the draft. Anything else you want to say, Alex?
I'm all good.
Awesome. Thank you so much for tuning in. We had a lot of fun with this one. We're going to be posting consistently from now on every week. I just had a show. We had a lot going on, and it was, besides the Tyreek Hill trade, there wasn't too much last week, so we felt like we could skip a week and do everything this week. So, but from now on, we will be doing weekly coverage, so stay tuned for that. And thank you so much for joining us today. Draft stuff is coming soon, and we will be on it. You can count on us. Thank you. Bye-bye.